Broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Excited to be with you today. This show is about building wealth, making it, keeping it, sharing it, living the American dream along the way. However you may be listening, thanks for tuning in with us today. There's lots of ways you can listen to the show. We are syndicated on 13 stations nationwide on AM radio. You can also find us via the BizTalk Radio app, or you can find our show on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Thanks for being with us today. I am joined, as always, with my great partner and friend, the amazing Mark J. Kohler.
Wow. I wish I could get an intro like that every day. That's awesome. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that. Well, right back at you. Excited to be here with Matt Sorensen. And we've got a great topic today. Now, Matt and I, as both attorneys, I'm also a CPA, and Matt has a lot of securities and self-directed IRA experiences. Each of us have our own specialties. But, you know, our show, every week, we're trying to find some technical topics to help you as business owners succeed and live that dream. But there's some softer topics that are really are important. And Matt and I have the opportunity to meet with hundreds of clients every year, and over our career, thousands of clients that we've met with, and we see business owners that fail, business owners that succeed, and guess what, folks? There's patterns. And if there's anybody that can help you understand what these common issues are, it's got to be your CPA, your lawyer. I mean, this is it. So today's show, we're going to talk about four significant hurdles that will help you succeed in your small business on the side, or your full-time business, your incredible, I'm going public and going to make millions of business, whatever it is, these same four hurdles will apply, and they're going to help you succeed. And this is going to rock. I think you're going to love it. Four topics today. Bam. Woo. There you go, Sorensen.
Yeah. Now, speaking of hurdles in your business, Mark, I don't know if you saw this story in Overland, Texas, the two girls who set up the lemonade stand. The police officer came and shut them down, put them out of business because they didn't have a health license to sell food.
Oh my gosh, that blows my mind. And I think if you guys follow Matt and I on social media, we are the guys that you'll see it on our little timeline. Every time I see a lemonade stand, I pull over and I triple pay and buy like all this lemonade. I'll even just throw it on the grass and buy another cup, and the kids are freaking out. But to see the government shut down a lemonade stand, are you kidding me? That's crazy.
Yeah. Even in Texas, it was Texas. But you know what I loved of that story, though, is those girls. So what they did is they got shut down. And you know what? They were trying to make money to buy their dad a Father's Day present. This was right before Father's Day. And these cute little girls, they're like, you know, 7 and 8. And but what they did is they came back and they said, we're accepting donations, and here's some free lemonade. And so they made this little donation modification to their business plan. And it worked, and they obviously saved some money, and all, you know, it got all over in the media, and all these theme parks and stuff gave them tickets because that's what they were trying to buy for their dad. But it was kind of a cool story, you know. But I saw some entrepreneurs there who knew how to get over a hurdle. They had a problem in the business, and they solved it. Maybe there's some future lawyers there too, you know, getting around the legal technicalities. But kind of a cool and interesting story.
I love it. We got to call that the lemonade loophole. I love it. Those little kids getting away with that. That is awesome. And, you know, it was another lemonade stand story in the news in Southern California this past week. It was just shocking. Two little girls running their lemonade stand. And after this guy bought the lemonade, he grabbed their money box and started running. Like they got ripped off. And the brothers ran him down the street, tackled him, and the cops came and the whole nine yards. But, boy, I mean, just lemonade stands have been in the news. This is a big deal. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's lemonade season, so.
Yeah, that's right. Crazy world. Well, okay, for those that are new to the show, every week we do a tax and a legal tip. So we're going to start out with a tax tip today that's going to blow your mind.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Love that little Refresh Your Wealth sound. And folks, we have got Rick Taylor, a CPA and manager at the accounting firm Kohler and Ayer CPAs. He's amazing. He's in the trenches helping clients around the country every day. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt and Mark. It's good to be on the show again.
Well, we're glad you're here. Now, you got a cool tip for us this week, a tax tip we can actually understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Today I want to talk about the small business owner who goes out and he hires a bookkeeper to run his books for him. I want to give a little caution out there and make sure that those small business owners know that you need to be hiring someone who's competent and someone who knows how to do bookkeeping. What we're finding a lot these days is these bookkeepers, they don't really know how to run the books. So we go in to prepare the tax return, and the books are a complete mess. And so what ends up happening is it actually would be more cost effective if we just ran the books and did the books ourselves rather than trying to figure out what the bookkeeper did. So that's my tip for this week, is to make sure that you have a bookkeeper that knows what they're doing, that's competent, and that can do your books for you.
Well, I think this is critical, Rick. I love this tip. And as many of you know, I love talking about the bookkeeping intervention. I love the TV show Intervention. I'm always crying at the end, just rooting for this guy or girl, you know, to change their life. But many of you entrepreneurs out there need a bookkeeping intervention as well. And I think, Rick, your tip really plays into that. The people, they've got to say, okay, if I'm not going to do the bookkeeping, I got to get someone that's good enough to do it. Maybe they're coming in a few hours a week. But I would just say this. It's like cleaning the bathroom. Someone's got to do it or it's going to get ugly. And business owners just don't realize how important bookkeeping is. They think they can get away with it and they can just ignore it, but then it's going to cost them in the end. It's just critical.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take
it. Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of times what we find is the people will just hire on their sister-in-law or something like that who has absolutely no experience at all.
I just love Mark Kohler. You know, he really knows how to teach something. It's like cleaning the bathroom. It's going to get ugly if nobody does it. You know, that was spot on. You know, that is bookkeeping to a T. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah, and I don't know what's worth doing, bookkeeping or cleaning the bathroom. So it's got to be one of the two. So we won't go there.
Take, right?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, Rick, thank you so much for the tip, folks. Rick, again, joins us about once a month for a little tax tip. We appreciate him coming out. Again, he's at K&E CPAs, refreshyourwealth.com. You can get links to the accounting firm, get a consult with Rick or any of the team members. Rick, thanks again for coming out.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, now we're going to move over to our legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right, now for today's legal tip, we have Kevin Kennedy from the Phoenix office of KKOS Lawyers. Kevin, you got a legal tip for us today?
I do. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. All right, so as you guys know, our law firm had our estate plan special recently, so we're doing a lot of estate plans. And since estate planning is in part directing your assets upon your death, for most people, their largest asset is their retirement account. So my tip is this: your will or your trust will not in of itself dictate where your retirement account will go upon your death. Rather, it's your beneficiary designation form that will determine that.
Good tip. Yeah, I think that's a big misconception with people for a lot of things, whether it's bank accounts, retirement accounts, life insurance proceeds. A lot of those items are going to go and pass upon your death based on what you put in a beneficiary designation.
Oh, yeah. And this is one of the funny stories that I love to talk about. And gosh, California, there was a case recently where a guy died on the golf course of a heart attack, and his wife went in to collect on the insurance policy and then found out that he had not changed the beneficiary designation from his previous wife 20 years earlier. So she almost had a heart attack. But, you know, all she did is she just went up to that, you know, old ex-wife and said, hey, can I have that $1 million? It's no big deal. And she said, sure, I'll sign the check over to you. It did not happen. And it went to court. And so the beneficiary designation controlled, and she was out of luck. So this is a big topic. Now, we're going here to break. And so, folks, let's come back and talk about this trust and beneficiary designation issue. You're here listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We're talking about our legal tip of the day today about beneficiary designations in your retirement plan. We've got attorney Kevin Kennedy with us. Kevin, what are some of the options when you're filling out a beneficiary designation on, you know, spouse or kids? What are some of your options as you're filling those designations out?
Married, generally, and there are always exceptions, but generally you're going to list your spouse as the primary beneficiary on that form. That way that spouse can take advantage of spouse rollover benefits. And then if you have a revocable living trust or even an IRA trust, you would name that typically as the secondary or the contingent beneficiary. If you're not married, you know, you may name your children, although it's probably preferable if you have a trust to name the trust as the primary beneficiary. So there's lots of different options that you can take with this, but the important thing is, like that fellow on the golf course, you know, after his divorce, he may have, you know, gone and updated his will, but it didn't help him whatsoever because he forgot to update his beneficiary designation form. So as long as you make sure that those big glaring errors are not present, you know, you won't find yourself in that situation as that fella.
Well, Kevin, I just want to comment too. I think you make a good point when you bring up the word, well, I'm single or I don't have a family. Some of those folks don't take the time to do estate planning because they think, oh, I don't have a family, so I can avoid this. Where in reality, you're some of the people that need to do the most estate planning because it can be a lot of questions out there for the extended family as to what you want it done with your retirement account, your rental property, your home, your investments. So, this is stuff that needs to be talked about, and I love it. Great tip, bringing up estate planning, coordinating your retirement account. Kevin, great job, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Kevin, for being with us. Now we have our question of the week segment here. I want to go over last week's question and the answer. We'll also give out this week's question. Keep in mind, if you have an answer to the question of the week, you can write to Matt, M-A-T, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com. With your answer, we'll read your answer on the air, and the winner receives a signed copy of Matt Sorensen or Mark Kohler's book. You get a pick. People have been picking Mark's lately. That's okay. It's a great book. But you get a pick, and these signed copies are priceless.
Hey, I will say this. You can also pick Matt's book, but I'll sign it. So that's worth something, too. So we can do that.
Oh, man. That roasted me right there.
That could even be worth more. So, all right. So last week's question was a tax question. Let's go over. So we threw out there to our audience, if I'm going to own a rental property, what is the depreciation time period for a residential rental versus a commercial rental? And Matt, who was our winner?
All right, we have Rafiq. He is a two-time winner of the question of the week, folks. And his answer was, for residential property, it's 27 and a half years. For commercial, it's 39 years. So I think he's correct, Mark. You're the resident CPA on the show today, as every
week. Yes, he is correct. And Rafiq, You win a copy of either Matt or mine's book. And since you chose my book the first time, you'll probably want another copy of my book, which is fine. You can have two copies. That would be ironic. Man. I love it.
I'm just getting killed here today.
Well, no, I think this is a great question. Of course, folks, as you listen to our show week after week, we're going to talk about rental property as an important part of your overall tax strategy and wealth building strategy. So these are numbers you want to be aware of. We're going to dedicate entire shows as we have for years. Many of you listening to the show may not know. We've been broadcasting for 8 years every week with a live show, and we've talked about rental property over and over again. So Rafiq, thanks for listening. And folks, you got to get your answer in. We're not going to let Rafiq win every week. So Matt, what's our question for this week? And listeners, you got to email us in here.
Yeah, there's a great opportunity to write in. We appreciate those who have in the past. The question for this week is, can an agreement by an email exchange create a binding contract? Can an agreement by an email exchange create a binding contract? Now, again, email your answers to Matt or Mark at KQS Lawyers, and we look forward to going over the answer to that and announcing the winner next week.
You bet. And at refreshyourwealth.com is our contact information. So you can, of course, go there to send in that answer if you're having a hard time remembering where to email your amazing answer to the question this week. Now, this is our opportunity now to jump into the topic again. If you're just joining us, our topic today for the rest of the show is we're talking about the hurdles most entrepreneurs face succeeding in their business. And these are, as we have consulted with thousands of clients, and frankly, the hurdles Matt and I experience in our own small businesses. So we've got four topics we're going to go through here that are really, I think, important for each one of you, our listeners, to help you better succeed at your American dream.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of unique perspectives in this. As Mark said, we have our own personal experiences. But more importantly, we see a lot of these things reoccurring from our clients. And I think it gives us a independent perspective on what's occurring. And I, you know, you can go get an MBA about this stuff, but we've seen the school of hard knocks from a lot of our clients, and it's really been enlightening for us, and hopefully we're going to have some words of wisdom for you today.
Yeah, so let's jump into number one. Now, number one on the hurdle for small business owners to succeed. Now, this is, again, folks, you may have a full-time business, you may be ready to hit that startup, or you have a small business on the side. That could even be a little rental property on the side, doing a little real estate project on the side. The number one hurdle and I may not say in any particular order here, but number one is that too many people say, they call us up, Matt. This happens all the time, right? And they go, hey, I quit my day job. I'm starting my small business. And they don't have any fallback steady income. They just think, oh, I'm going to go 110% into this new small business. And they don't have a fallback.
Yeah, and I think that is scary. The starting a business or any entrepreneur endeavor, you want to ease into it. I think everyone's excited to go gung-ho into something, but a lot of businesses really take a lot of planning, some laying some groundwork, and really you don't want to put yourself in a financial situation where – and maybe you've saved up for years. Maybe someone's really put a lot of money aside and they have a nest egg that they can afford to do that. Most people that we've experienced, though, do not. And so in startup mode, phase one, keep the day job for as long as possible.
Yes, it's absolutely critical. And what happens is, and you could be shocked, many of you, to know how many consultations Matt and I have with clients where they're in desperation mode and they're making poor decisions in their business because they quit the day job too soon. And when you're in that mode of making crisis decisions, you're making bad decisions for your business. You're not making long-term profitable decisions. You're making short-term decisions to try to survive. And when you're in that mode, your small business is not going to succeed. So that's the number one hurdle first for small business owners trying to get that small business to the next level. As soon as we come back, we're going to hit our next three and better help you live the American dream. Thanks for listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Excited to be here with you today. We're talking about the hurdles for success in your small business. We're going to move on to number two hurdle, which is about getting that support structure, making sure that your family, your fans, you've got the cheerleaders, that advisory board, that board of directors. Folks, it's a lonely life being an entrepreneur if you don't have people around you to help you succeed.
Yeah, and what you want to do, a lot of people will set up a board of advisors. You know, some people have a formal board of directors. But you want to go to people who can be a sounding board in your business and who can really help you and contribute to. Maybe you need someone with some financial expertise, someone who's a friend of yours that has an existing business or has been a business owner. Get those people involved. And I think what you'll find is you're going to build a team of people who can be a part of your support structure. And there's different roles persons can play in that process. But one of the things that really helps is asking for help. And I found this myself to be very helpful is I ask for help from people. A lot of people are willing to provide that help. Even people that I thought, man, would they really want to help me? And I've been surprised the reaction people give. People genuinely want to help others in business, give their advice, give their expertise. And it's a great way for you to get some free help and service in your business that can really be your support group as you go to create the business and grow it.
That's a great comment, Matt. And, you know, I'm excited to also talk about the family aspect for a moment. And I'm bringing on a special guest. Okay, this is crazy. In 8 years, some ladies out there, you're going to probably feel very ill towards me that it hasn't happened sooner. But in 8 years, I've never had my wife come on the show as a guest. And so right here now, I want to welcome to the show my wife, Jennifer Kohler, and talk about the family perspective for a minute, because so many entrepreneurs don't communicate with their family. Not me. I mean, I'm the perfect entrepreneur, I'm sure. Jen, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, hi, everybody. This is Jen Kohler. And of course, Mark has always been the perfect communicator with the business. Of course, always. Right, Matt?
Right. Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Mark, when he asked me to be on the show, and he asked me to just give a few ideas about the family aspect or the wife or the significant other about entrepreneurs, he didn't say that this would be the hurdles, the hurdle part of owning your own business. I heard that introduced at the beginning. So I thought that was interesting. Thank you, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry, hon. well, no, I mean, this is, when I say hurdle, if you want to succeed in your business, you have to have your family up to speed and bought into what you're trying to do. If you're trying to do this alone and you're not communicating with your family, it's only going to make it harder. And how many businesses have failed, or how many marriages or families have been torn apart by a business due to the lack of communication? Jen, what's your recommendation? What do you tell entrepreneurs out there?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I think, first of all, your family and your spouse or your significant other can be your best cheerleaders behind you. They can be the one to give you the most support and the most just cheer you along the pathway to beginning your business. And as your business grows and you spend more and more time with your business, or more and more significant stress with your business. So they can be your best cheerleaders, definitely.
Well, I want to say this. My greatest cheerleader has been my wife. And without getting choked up on the show, she has been amazing, and she's been there for me for 24 years now, me being an entrepreneur from day one with my lemonade stand or whatever it was. And I just love her to death. And so I want to say, Jen, thanks for coming out on the show and sharing a few thoughts on this. I know it's not easy being married to me and an entrepreneur, but it's all about the journey, right? You're okay. You're still good, right?
It is. And you know, in all honesty, it's not easy to be the significant other of an entrepreneur. It is a journey that's tough, but it's well worth it, and it has its rewards. And I think, you know, it takes a strong couple, and it takes a strong person to have your own business. But it's great. And listen to their suggestions, just like what you were talking about before. listening to the suggestions of other people. I think that's a great idea. A lot of times when you're communicating with your spouse about your business, sometimes they can see an outsider's point of view and they can offer some really great suggestions.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for coming on. You are awesome. I really appreciate it. And as we transition now, let's go on to our third hurdle or key to success in your business. And let's talk about resources. So, Matt, not only are the people in your life a resource and critical to success, but there's some other resources too. Why don't you tell us about item number three?
Yeah, obviously, every business, no matter what position you're in, whether it's starting up, growing the business, you're going to have certain resources. That can be time. We've already talked a little bit about time. That could be education. That could be money. And all those things really come together, and it could be expertise even, experience, connections, networking, contacts. I mean, there's so many resources that come together that really make a business a success. And I think the first thing to do is recognize what resources you already have. Some people may talk about maybe a SWOT analysis. Think of the strengths that you already have, and then think of what weaknesses. What are the things you're going to need to bring in? And try and get an evaluation, a self-evaluation of yourself and your likelihood for success in the business based on your resources. And that'll give you a good idea of what you need to work on, Mark.
Yeah, no, and I think this relates in some degree to point number one, that too many people quit their J job and they just jump into the business without thinking about a safety net or the resources, if you will. But some people think, too, that if I don't have money, I can't start a small business. You know, there's other resources in the equation. You may have the time to spend, but not the money. And it's a great opportunity to partner with others. Over and over again, we've got great shows in our podcast history, folks. If you're listening, get to Refresh Your Wealth podcast. Check out the shows when we talk about how to partner with others, how to take your strength and partner with someone else's strength and still have an amazing, successful business.
Yeah, and also relating to that resources, I mean, just last week's show, we talked about how to raise money. How do you go to someone that you may need money from? Whether it be, are they going to lend you money? Are they going to partner with you? Are they going to be an investor with you? There's all these different models you need to think about, and money is one of those significant resources. I mean, money does make the world go round. It also can help you buy inventory, buy property, hire an employee. You know, all these things that make businesses happen, a lot of them take that money. And so check out that show as well. I don't mean to plug too many shows, but these are big topics really in and of themselves. So it's really hard for us to get too deep into them. But resources are obviously very critical in growing your business.
Yeah, and you know, an interesting one about not only you may have time, but you may have the know-how or the education. Getting educated in a real estate strategy or an online and marketing strategy or whatever it is, getting the edge can make you a very valuable resource. Matt and I did a real estate tax summit just this spring. We'll do one every year. So mark your calendars for this upcoming March in 2016. And Kendall Stock is one of the folks we present with, and a phenomenal real estate investor. And everybody, it was really kind of interesting and shocking to me too, because everybody at the was asking Kendall, how do you find money? I need money. And Mark, and as he would teach our students in that workshop, he said, money is the least of my problems. When you know what you're doing, when you have the knowledge and the expertise, people with money will find you. And money can be one of the easiest resources to get once you get educated and you get the right network around you. So it's really important that you're thinking outside the box when it comes to resources.
Yeah, and I think on that last topic there, as we had Mark there, you know, with Jen on, your family is really a big resource. And I mean this in terms of having your family be involved in the business. They could be doing certain work in the business. My wife and kids have their own business. They all pitch in and help each other out on the side. And those are great resources as you're starting up. And I love that, Mark, when Jen was on talking about a cheerleader, though, I just want to say I was thinking about the show, about the song, you know, "Oh, I Think I Found Myself a Cheerleader." I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but I mean, I don't want people to turn off the show or anything, but I love that song. It's kind of a cute little song, but we need those in our business. So I just try to bring those two topics back together.
Yeah, no, I love it. And folks, if anybody has license to sing a song on the show, it's Matt Sorensen, who is a band member of Spilby Dog and a lead guitarist. He's amazing. So we love talking about whatever it takes to get the point across. So folks, again, keep thinking about your resources, think about your family and your support structure, and also be thinking again about, well, you know, not quitting the day job too soon. We're going to come back right after the break and talk about the fourth hurdle to help you succeed in your business.
Everyone, this is the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Thanks for being with us today. We want to let you know there's many ways to listen to our show. You can listen to us via the BizTalk Radio app, via biztalkradio.com. You also may be listening to us on iTunes by finding us under the Refresh Your Wealth Show. You can find more details at refreshyourwealth.com. And we want to thank those who do listen to us on iTunes. We put out a request last week for people to give us a review on iTunes, and we received 57 reviews on iTunes over the past week. Only two of them were 4 stars. All the rest are 5 stars. Thanks so much for those who went on and gave us a review. We really appreciate it. We like to incentivize people to give us reviews. Let us know if you did give one of these reviews, and we want to send a special thank you to you. But I want to read some of these reviews on the air here just to give you an idea of what other people think about our show. This is a review from Dina SW. Mark and Matt are awesome. I've spent time with each of them on different topics, and they always provided solutions that were spot on for both personal and business issues. I recommend their expertise to anyone who needs help. MeTom 2003 put great advice that's easy to follow and digest. JBarn 83 wrote, take the time to listen. The info is invaluable and can literally save you thousands. So thanks so much for those who have given a 5-star review. We want to encourage those of you to give us 5-star reviews and really appreciate the love that we've received on iTunes. And as Mark said previously, we have lots of shows in the history which you can go check up and listen on iTunes, and over 100 shows there available to you to listen to.
Yep, and we'll be sending you a gift for that. We'll choose one of those 5-star reviews and send you a copy of our book. So every week we'll randomly choose one of those reviews and send you a copy. Thanks so much. So now that one, I think, may shock some of you, the perspective we take here. Many of you out there have probably heard in the news or, you know, in how many countless books that the percentage of which businesses fail. I would rather rephrase that and call it the percentages of small business owners that give up too soon. It's really a process of being patient. We've got to be patient in the process of building our small business. And again, so many people think, oh, it's just going to happen automatically or right away. And it doesn't. It takes time. And I know, Matt, it's not something that happens overnight.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that happens for a lot of people starting out in business or trying to get to that next phase of their business is they do give up too soon. And I think one thing that I've seen from a lot of clients is they may have 6 months, it may be a year, they're going to have a significant amount of time where they're not making any money. They're struggling. And there's a lot of issues that happen there, and a lot of people will give up. But I think one thing I've really found to be true is it really takes time to get the ball rolling. But once you do get the ball rolling, there's a lot of success that starts to build. And if you can get that ball rolling, get those first few sales, get that product launch, get that first property, whatever it is you're doing, once you do get that ball rolling, it's easier the next time. You get a process down. You get an existing client that maybe gets you some referrals. And that's really important to overcoming some of these obstacles. And I think it's important to just remember, it does get easier once you get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and here's a couple other major points, and we've done shows about this before, is that the difference between men and women when they're getting into a business and when things are tough. A lot of times, men will take a tunnel vision approach. They'll make very isolated or quick decisions, and they feel like they're very decisive, and but then they can also give up too quickly. Where on the flip side, we've seen many women have come on the show and talked about they may be more indecisive or take longer or procrastinate, but they're also willing to be more flexible and make changes in the model of the business. And what we see people that are succeeding in business is finding a balance between those two. You got to make critical decisions. You got to move forward. You can't procrastinate, but you also have to be flexible. And so don't give up. Be patient and be willing to make changes in your business model to get to that next level. And don't be married to the concept you may have had 1 year or 2 years ago. The business can take on its own life, and it doesn't mean you're a failure. Let the business grow. Let it have its own life.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to point out on this topic is I think I've seen two different phases of people where they have when they're starting out, they have to be everything. They've got to be the accountant, the marketing department, the PR department, the sales team, the service team, the tech person. I mean, the business owner's filling all of these roles at the very beginning. And that sometimes is very necessary, and that's going to happen, frankly, in most businesses. You're going to be bootstrapping all of these things together. But there becomes a time when you have to let go of certain things, and you're going to be growing the business. You need to get to the next level. You cannot be everything. You cannot fill all those roles. And there's a growing pain here of you need someone else to be involved to go take on those roles so that you can focus on what really matters in your business. And generally, that's going to be, frankly, sales and service. That's what matters in the business. So, but you're going to be in different phases depending on where you are in your business.
Yeah, and I think I'm just going to pull a parallel here to college, too, is that, remember, getting a college degree is 4 years. And gosh darn it, I went on and got a master's and a doctorate, went to law school. I was in school 10 years and before I even made $1 as a tax lawyer. And so many small business owners think, if I don't make money in the first 6 months, I'm a failure. It takes time, folks. It's like going to college. And don't give up. And I think that's, again, if we can say anything in conclusion of the show today, folks, don't give up. We love you. We're going to be here every week at the Refresh Your Wealth Show trying to help you succeed in your American dream. And hopefully talking about these four hurdles will help you as well in succeeding your business. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.